can come to the house of the Lord and we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we know that we cannot do anything without Him, but we need Him in our hearts and in our lives. And again, we just say thank the Lord for it all. If you have your Bibles here today, if you would stand with me, we want to read Galatians 2:20 as we read every Sunday morning. And let's read today. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building. Again, it is good that we can come together. Again, we have lived through 2024, and now we are in a brand new year. Happy New Year, because we are now in 2025. I've always said people's alarm clocks went off in 2024, but they never was awakened. They slipped right out into eternity, but you and I have made it in to another year. Thank God, because you know what? God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you, and God will continue to be God in your life. And so I thank God for it all. Well, I'm going to start a brand new series at the beginning of this new year, and it's going to be called the Maturity Series. And it's going to talk about growth and development on how we can grow in God's Word and how that we can become more mature Christians. And we can do that through the working of God's Word and how that we can hear the Word. And the Bible says that we not just hear the Word, but we be doers of the Word. In other words, we do on what we hear. And we apply what we hear to our hearts and our lives. We don't just apply it on a Sunday morning and walk out the door and leave it and come back and pick it up next Sunday, but we take what we hear. Did you know that's why we go to church? We go to church because we want to hear the Word. And here it is, folks. After we hear the Word, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a teacher, whether it's an evangelist, whatever we hear, we take that in and we apply what we hear and say, you know, I'm going to try to do what the pastor said, or I'm going to try to do what the evangelist said, or I'm going to try what the teacher said to help you the next week, because that's why we're here. We're here because we want to hear the Word of God. We want to apply the Word of God. And then we want what we hear today, we want it to help us next week. I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. And I need all the understanding that I can get to help me next week. Because why, Pastor? We don't know what next week's going to bring. I don't know. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. You assume that it's going to happen the way you've planned it. You're going to assume that you're going on your job. You're going to assume, you know, that you're going to do the same thing you did last week and the last week before that, but we never know. So what do? We try to prepare our minds. We try to prepare our hearts, and we try to prepare ourselves for the next week, because we don't know, you know, what lies ahead, you know. It's just one of those things that you just never know. So let's get into God's Word a little bit today. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. We're in the New Testament, and we want to look at this as time will permit. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. And today in my maturity series, sermon number one, we're going to look at this a little bit. Because today I want to share with you that there are three types of people. There are three types of people. There are three types of people that we interact with. Three types. And so I want to break this down a little bit today, because as time goes on, we're going to build from this. And each Sunday as we go through this, we're going to build off of this as we look at each other, as we look at others and as we see others, we're going to see how that the Lord is wanting us to mature. He doesn't want us to be babies. You know, I would love for my son and my daughter to be in my arms. And I remember when me and Tracy first brought them home. I remember that day. I was pushing Tracy in a wheelchair. She had Rossi in her arms. We were just excited, new couple with our first child with Rossi. We wanted her to stay little, but she started getting bigger. And she started getting bigger. And she started growing. I'm going, okay, our little girl is not little anymore. Our baby's not a baby anymore. She's growing. And so that's normal. And that's exactly what happens. And that's what happens in life. We grow. We even grow to get older. And I'm feeling it. And there's some out there I know is feeling it. It's getting older, you know. And my mother always said, she said, son, if you want to stay young, you'll have to die young. Because everybody gets older. And that is true. And that is true. And so I look at it as the Lord wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to be babies, but He wants us to mature in the Word of God. So as we get older, the Lord wants us to get wiser. He wants us to have as much knowledge as we possibly can to help us cope in the life which we live, in the world which we live, that we have more wisdom and understanding. You know, there are times that we go through things in life that it winds up being a learning curve. In other words, we learned from our mistakes. And all of us, including your pastor, has made mistakes. We've made the wrong decision. We've got to face it. We all have. I've made wrong decisions. And so with that, we don't continue to make wrong decisions. We just, what we do is we learn from the mistake that we made and we move forward, and therefore it causes us to become wiser. Because you can talk to someone that's going through what you just went through and you can say, hey, I know exactly what you're saying. I've been there. Wait a minute, I know what you've been through. I've been there, and I want you to know, you know, it's not fun, but I'm learning from my mistake. I'm learning that I shouldn't do that, or I shouldn't, you know, do this. And so we're learning from that. So that's what the Lord wants us to do, is that we will learn, because we know that there is tests. And there are trials, and there's things that we're going to go through, because Jesus says, if I went through it, guess what? You're going to go through it. So if our Lord Jesus Christ went through it, you're going to go through it. I'm going to go through it as well. So let's look at this a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Question. But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Verse 2. I fed you. We're going in. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am Apollo, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? I want to give you a brief description on this passage. Here was the Apostle Paul at Corinth, talking to the Corinthians, talking to a church. There's a church there. Everybody in the church doesn't mean that they're all holy and they're all ready to go to heaven and they're all doing right and everything is just on cloud nine. There was some issues that was going on. There was some things that of those that were coming to the church, some were dedicated to Jesus Christ as Christ followers, and then there were some that were just saying in name, but their hearts were carnal. And so the Apostle Paul says, listen, I can't begin to talk to you about some of you about spiritual things because you've allowed carnality. You have allowed the sinful things in life and you're blending in your sin with the walk of Christ. Therefore, you can't even understand spiritual things because you allowed everything else to creep into your heart and life. You see, if the Holy Spirit is to do what He does and His job, it is for us to fully surrender to His Lordship and say, Lord, all the things that I'm desiring and all the things that I want has to be set aside, has to be pushed out, and we've got to be totally dedicated to Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a pastor. I feel like you're telling me I've got to be a minister or I've got to be a pastor or I've got to be like you. No, I'm not asking you to be like me. Everybody's not like a pastor. Everybody's not like an evangelist. But everybody is called to witness. You are a witness. The Bible, as Jesus says, I need disciples. You are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says that if you want to follow me and be fishers of men, He is saying you must deny yourself, take up your cross, not His, excuse me, take up your cross and follow Him. And so the Apostle Paul is saying here, listen, there's things that I would love to say to you. There's things that I would love for you to get and understand. But you're crowding other things in your life, and that's going to weigh you down to where you cannot hear from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit cannot be what He needs to be in your life if you're allowing other things to crowd in your life. Listen, I want you to know today that some sermons that you may hear may convert the lost. Some sermons to feed or correct believers. This one here today is talking about being mature in Christ Jesus. We're going to look at the three men or the three types of people today. We're going to look at the natural man. In the natural man, we see in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. A natural man is a man that has not accepted Jesus Christ. A natural man is a man that you may see or a woman out on the streets or out in your job or wherever you're at that don't claim to know Jesus. They may cuss like a sailor. They don't care, you know. That's the natural man because that's what we do when we don't accept Jesus Christ in our life. You know, we'll cuss like a sailor. We'll be what we want to be, say what we want to say, go where we want to go, do what we want to do. That's the natural man, you know. I was just talking to somebody the other day that they had went to the drugstore. They went to the store and there was an issue that was going on, just right out issue that was going on. And you get frustrated and you get upset because they just don't get it. And I understand that. Sometimes they just don't get it. That's the natural man. That's the natural man in that's how it is. That's a world which we live. And it's crazy, but it's true. That's the natural man. And then there is the spiritual man. The spiritual man is this in 1 Corinthians 2 and 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. In other words, the spiritual man accepts Jesus into his heart and his life. And he allows Jesus to come in his heart and life. And when he does, he's able to see with spiritual eyes, not with carnal eyes, but he's able to see with spiritual eyes what's going on. He knows what's carnal and what's not. When you're living in carnality, when you're living in sin, sometimes you don't know the difference because that's the way you are. You're living like that. You've been around that. You've been raised around that like that. You know, you've got habits and you've got things that you've dealt with because you've been around a natural man. But when you become that of Jesus and when you accept Jesus, that means the spiritual man comes alive and that you begin to see the things of the world. And you can say, you know, I know they're acting up crazy, but they don't know Jesus. You know, they said stupid stuff and acting stupid, but they just don't know Jesus. But you do. So with that, God gives you the wisdom and he gives you all the information that you need from the Holy Spirit to help you navigate. That's your GPS with God's Word, to navigate in life. When you see the natural man acting foolish, you as a Christian, the spiritual man that you are, you're able to see what's going on in life. And so then you've got the spiritual man. And then you have the carnal man, 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as the carnal, as to babes in Christ. So when you look at those that are dealing with issues in life and they're not accepting Jesus, not trusting Jesus, they're going in on their own intellect. They're going into their own wisdom. They're going with their own understanding and are not allowing Jesus to give them what they need. But they're saying, I don't need you right now, God. If I do, I'll call you when I need you. But I'm doing good right now, Lord. Everything's doing fine, you know. But until that moment, they're going to live in that carnal life and doing what they want to do and being what they want to be and not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first point today I want you to look at is who are these representing, these representative people? Who are they? The natural man. Paul talks about this. My first point today is the natural man. Paul gives the message and the method. His message was Christ and him crucified. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, I don't claim to know anything. He learned a lot of things. He was a very educated man. He knew the law inside and out. He knew everything about things that are going on. But he realized that I don't know anything but Jesus Christ. Remember the story where he was struck down to the road of Damascus? And his name was Saul, and it became Paul because he was persecuting the church. He was killing them. He was stamping them out. And God stopped him in his track and says, why are you going against the pricks, Paul? Why are you doing this? Why are you killing my people? Why are you doing what you're doing? God stopped him and changed his life and moved him in a direction where that he was in the natural man, but he was moving from the natural man into the spiritual man. And so with that, Paul began to say, I don't know anything but Jesus Christ and whom crucified. Listen, his method was preaching in the power of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:3, I was with you in weakness and fear and as much trembling, the Apostle Paul says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'm not here to tell you all about what I know and all of who I am and what I'm going to do and what I'm going to accomplish. He said, but now I've been changed. The Spirit of God has changed me. And now I want to share with you that all I know is Jesus Christ now. In other words, it's a new walk for me. It's a new walk. It's a new destiny. It's a new plan that God has. That's the same way it is with God today. God has a plan for your life. He has a new destiny. You have arrived in 2025. He's wanting to do great and mighty things. He's not wanting to do the same thing He did in 2024 or 2023 or 22. Now it's 2025. He wants to do great and mighty things. He wants you to mature. He wants you to grow. He wants to give you the power of the Holy Spirit so that you will be able to do what you need to do in this life, to be the servant, to be the disciple, to be that God would have you to be, not for you to sit on the sideline, but to get up and move and step up to the plate and do the work that God has called His church to do. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. It is not for us to look at someone else and say, let somebody else do it. I don't want to do it. It's time, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, as those that have come to me and said, the Lord spoke to me. If God has spoken to you to do a work, then do it with all the honor that you've got. Do it with all your might and do it as God would be pleasing unto you as you do the work of the Lord. God is calling each and every one. And a lot of times we will hear the voice of God. Sometimes we will hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us and we will ignore it. And we'll say, nope, that's not for me. Nope, I can't do it. That's the same way it was with Moses. Moses said, I can't do it, Lord. I can't do it. God says, you can do it. No, I can't speak right. God says, I'll speak for you. I still can't do it, God. God was calling him. And I want you to know what's behind the Lord Jesus Christ. What's behind the Holy Spirit. It is nothing of you. It is nothing of me. But it's what Jesus Christ does in a heart of a believer. When a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, then God gives you the power. He gives you the strength. He gives you the knowledge and the ability to do the work that God has called you to do. He's not calling those that already have a full education. He does, but it doesn't mean that. He called smelly fishermen, stinky fishermen that dealt with fish, that caught fish, that sliced fish up. He called them to do a work. And God is calling us to be fishers of men. In other words, we're to reach the lost. We're to reach this lost and dying world. We are to share with them because we're salt and light to this world. And we're to share with them to bring them and compel them to come into God's house and that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been commissioned and missioned to do His work. It's not for the pastor to do all the work. No, it's not for the deacon to do all the work. No, it's not for one person to do all the work. We are in this together. This is the body of Christ. Christ is the groom. We are the bride. And He's wanting us to do a work until He comes. Or until you're in 6 foot underground. You are to work and labor unto the Lord Jesus Christ until He has called you home. Folks, I want to share with you today, you're not just here mere and existing. You're not here just to exist and to go 6 foot on the ground. You're here for a reason. You're here for a plan. You're here for a purpose. Every one of us, as I've always said, has talents and abilities that God has given you to do the work and to do things for the glory of the Lord. Some can cook. I can't cook. Can't cook a lick. But there's some that's been blessed that know how to cook. They know what to do when it comes to food. There's others that have gift of organization. They know how to organize. They know how to plan things. They know how to decorate things. They know how to see something before they see it. That's a talent. That's a gift that God has given to those. Everybody plays a part within the church. Everybody has a gift and a talent, and it comes together for the glory of God, not for the glory of the pastor, not the glory of the people, but the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're reaching a world that needs Jesus, and He's called us day by day to do the work that He has called us to do. He's calling you. He's calling me. You see, He wants to reach the natural man. The natural man has not been born again. He's wanting to reach those that are lost. He cannot understand spiritual things. The natural man cannot. They are foolishness to him until he accepts Jesus into his heart and life. The Bible is a dark book to the natural man until he comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The destiny of the natural man is destruction. The need of the natural man is salvation. We must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. John 3:16. Listen. The need of the natural man. All people are naturally lost. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. All lost people can be saved. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. When we come to Him, He will not cast us away. Freely given is freely received. Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Plain and simple. We don't have to analyze it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry yourself to death about it. It is just as plain and simple that Jesus gives us about salvation and coming to know Him. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's just that easy. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. My second point today. Not only are we looking at the natural man, but we're looking at the spiritual man. 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet himself is rightly judged by no one. The spiritual man was once a natural man. Salvation through faith in Christ transformed him. Once doomed, now he's delivered. Once lost, he's now found. Once bound for hell, now he's bound for heaven. The Holy Spirit teaches the spiritual man. And 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knows the things of the man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so now one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but now we've received the Spirit whom is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, that we may know through His Spirit of the freely things that God has given. These things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, and comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. See, the natural man don't understand that. They can't understand it. They will never comprehend it. Because Paul says it's foolishness. That's why Jesus does not want us to walk around like natural men. Jesus does not want us to walk around like the world walks. Yeah, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Why? Because the spiritual man now has been changed. The natural man has been changed. The Spirit of God now has come into our hearts and life. We don't run like the world. We don't act but wild. You know, we're not shooting up, boozing up, drinking up. We're not doing all these things anymore. Snorting up. I miss a lot of things sometimes, of the crazy things that's going on in the world. But we don't do that no more. Because what? We're on a new road now. We're on a new road. We've been changed. We're on a new road. That's the natural man. The spiritual man says, Lord, I want to be on your road. I want to follow you. And when we do that, then that's when we begin to see spiritual things. That's when God begins to enlighten us. That's when we begin to understand God's Word, because we want to go the direction that Jesus wants us to go, not the way the devil wants us to go. And that's what the natural man is. The devil wants us to go his direction. And of course, we know it's nothing but death. It's nothing but destruction. But the spiritual man comes alive when we accept Jesus into our heart and in our life. I'm coming to my closing here. Listen. The spiritual man discerns and understands all things, sees God at work in the world. You even see God as He moves in the world. When the spiritual man, when you accept Jesus in your heart, you begin to see things. See God at work in his or her life. You begin to see what God's doing in your life. Listen, he's not understood by others. The warning of Jesus, as we clearly say this, and Jesus said this in John 15 and 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world and the world would love its own, yet because you're not of the world, that's a spiritual man, but what? But I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is no greater than his master. And if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they keep my word, they will keep yours also. See, Jesus lets us know when we go down this road of becoming that spiritual man, there's people that's not going to like us. Oh man, you're going to that church and you listen to that pastor and he's talking about Jesus and you've accepted Jesus into your life. You know, that's crazy. Oh, that's crazy. That's what the devil says to you. Oh, you don't need that. You don't need that. God loves everybody. You just do what you want to do. You just be what you want to be. Go where you want to go. God loves you. He loves you. That's what the devil says. That's what the devil says. Because the devil does not want you to be a spiritual man. He does not want you to be a spiritual woman. He does not want you to grow and mature in Christ Jesus. He wants you to live like the devil. He wants you to act like the devil. He wants you to do that because guess what? He knows where the road leads. And the road that the devil says is you lead to destruction. But Jesus says when you get on the road with me, it's life. And it's life more abundantly. And you have eternal life, not eternal damnation. You have eternal life. Peter explains it like this, 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you or test you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partake of Christ and His sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. And if you are a reproach for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. Folks, don't forget, when you sacrifice and you accept Jesus into your heart and life, yes, there's going to be hardship. Yes, there's going to be difficulties. Yes, there's going to be trials. And yes, there's going to be things that's going to come your way. But know that there is an eternal reward that you will receive. Know that God is with you every step of the way. And Jesus says, if I've been through it, don't be surprised because you're going to go through it. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you in church. He doesn't want you to read your Bible. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to spend time with Him. And there's all kind of gadgetry in the world now. There's so much stuff that's going on. AI is now, artificial intelligence is already now sweeping through the United States and around the world, where you're talking to a robot and a robot can have a conversation with you. Who would ever thought that? Who would ever thought that you could talk to a robot? Who could ever thought that you could talk and they could put in feelings in that robot? They could put in desires, and they can put all this crazy stuff in a robot and make a man look like a man in a robot, make a woman look like a woman. I saw one the other day. She had flesh tones. She had skin. Now the guy showed how her skin was all soft. Her lips were all soft. Her eyes could move. And her eyes looked like human beings, but it was a robot. And behind it was wires, and on behind it was all kinds of stuff that was mechanically operating. When this woman would have an intelligent conversation with Elon Musk and how he would talk and interact, folks, that's a world we're living in. I want you to realize what's going on in this world. I want you to realize the technology. The technology has been spinning out of control for so long, and it is going so fast that it's even making my head spin, because I can't even hardly keep up with what's going on. And they claim, and I've heard others talk about it, that AI is going to be one of those kinds that's going to take parts of the world over and begin to operate. You're going to be communicating with a robot. There'll be times that we may go in a restaurant and we may not see a human being in there, because the robot will be handing you your food and smiling to you and saying, "Have a nice day." And there's no talk back, there's no fussing, there's no complaining, because everything is programmed. Everything. Folks, the devil is trying to do everything he can to squeeze, to etch, to get into everybody's life, because he wants to get into human life and bring it and tear it down and bring it down to his way, to bring it in the way that he wants it to go, way he wants it fashioned. Folks, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to realize, have the realization and know what lies ahead of us. God's Word clearly says, understand His devices. We've got to understand His devices, what the enemy is doing. He is lurking. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He is awake. When you lay your head on the pillows at night, He is still trying to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And that's why the Bible says for us to be vigilant. Peter says be vigilant, because he's roaring, the enemy is roaring like a lion, and he is seeking out whom he may devour. And that's why we have to be careful, and we have to understand what is going on. In my closing, I know I went over a little bit here, but this is my closing. Listen, the spirit man has the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of Christ and that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Third, in my closing, the carnal man. 1 Corinthians 3:14, if anyone works which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. The carnal man is confused. The natural man lives for the moment. Listen, the carnal man is confused, but the natural man lives for the moment. The spiritual man lays up treasures in heaven. The carnal man tries looking both ways to figure out what's going on. But there's contradiction of the carnal man. He knows what is right, but does not do it. Listen, I got to say this again. There's contradiction of the carnal man. He knows what is right, but doesn't do it. He knows the world is lost, but clinches to it. It's almost like Lot looking back at Sodom and Gomorrah. And when she looked back, what did the Bible say? The Bible says she turned the pillars of Saul because she loved Sodom and Gomorrah. But God said, get out of there. I'm about to destroy it, because I'm about to bring down brim and fire stones from heaven. Get out of there, Lot. Get your wife out of there. Get your family out of there. I'm about to destroy it, because their wickedness has been brought before me and I cannot take it no more. And Lot and his wife was headed out of the country. Sodom and Gomorrah was two cities. side by side. Sodom and Gomorrah was not people. It was a city. A wicked city. A city like we're living in today. A world that we're living in today was going on. And guess what?